Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. We'll bring you tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am excited today to talk with Chris Soroka, who is a vice president of sales. He was at 13 Fox, which is artillery, right, Chris?
That is correct.
Yeah, I thought it was. I don't know what it is about the podcast, but you're our fourth artillery guy. So maybe there's so much explosives and you guys can't hear very well, so you're going to fail. I don't know. I'm excited to talk with you. And it sounds like from just what we were talking about on the pre-show that you guys have quite a bit of stuff going on with your company. And so as we kind of dig in, when did you serve? What years were those? And tell me a little bit about being a 13 Fox.
Sure. So I joined in 92. So right after the first Desert Storm is ultimately when I signed up while that thing was getting ready to go on. But delayed entry put me out. I started basic and AIT in Jan of 92. You know, I went in with the thoughts of, yes, I did certainly want to serve the country. But at the same time, I knew I had to do more than just what I was doing at the time. And I was just working a full-time job. And I'm like, I need to get to college. How do I get funds for that? Army College Fund, GI Bill were available at the time. And I'm like, hey, listen, I can fulfill both duties, so to speak. Serve the country, get some money for school. And so, listen, I went, signed up. And 13 Fox was the job at the time. They said, hey, listen, I can get you in. You know what? 2.5 years. And then we can let you go if you want, or, you know, you can re-sign up. So I'm thinking, yeah, I can get as much money, whether I sign for 2.5 or 4, let me try this thing out. Right. So it was pretty good. And I just knew, I'm like, I wanted to get to college. Right. And that was my whole other piece of leaving, because I went in with that purpose. And, you know, certainly at the time it was, I had a young family. So I'm sure like there's a lot of other, you know, soldiers right now that are probably in the younger age and they started young and they're saying like, what am I going to do? Right.
Right.
And the army and, or the military is certainly one of those aspects and careers that, it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go there, get myself straightened out, right. For long-term of how can I support long-term for the family and the good of what you want to achieve as a personal.
Now, where did you serve at? 13 Fox, were you at SIL or were you at Campbell?
SIL was basic in AIT, and then I did Fort Polk and Fort Hood were the two. So I was
two bases to be at.
I know. Listen, right? They certainly weren't selling the reenlistment by bringing me to to certainly to Polk.
Yeah,
you know, Hood was all right.
The worst.
You know, we did. It was second armored. So they reactivated second armor, sure. And I went back there. Was with first Cav and three corps. I think they're still there, if I'm not mistaken, right now as well. So,
yeah. But, now, how many years did you end up serving?
I'm sorry.
How many years did you end up serving?
So 2.5 full, and then I went out. I went into active reserve. Okay. I did that for a little bit, and part of that was, you know, one thing that I'll say that, you know, being in. And then getting out and saying, hang on, there's that camaraderie, that teamwork, right? That building of like, hey, there's my battle buddy is right there. At first, when you first get out, you miss that. right? And it's not prevalent in, I'll call it, in the civilian world. And so you look around, you're like, hang on, I don't know. You kind of lost your, at least I did anyway. You kind of lose your way a little bit, and you're like, I think I want that back, right? Not full time, but I at least wanted to get back into it. So I went back and I was like, all right, hang on, listen, is there a reserve spot available? And next thing you know, I ended up doing that for another year.
Okay.
Just the same thing, just to kind of get another piece of that fulfilled.
You're in from 92 to 94 and a half, and then you did another year.
Yeah, did another year in reserve.
Yeah. So in the 90s, there was no transition assistance. There was no programs, so.
That was the only thing, right?
Which helped you with your resume, which really didn't help you.
Correct. And it was, and it had just started. I mean, when I had gotten out, it was probably like two or three years old at that time. So, and that was the only thing, right? So things like what you're doing today for veterans, right? And there's so many other organizations that are out there helping take full advantage, because it wasn't available right? It's like it gave you access to a printer, to your point, to print out a resume. That was it.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, it was not, and it's, well, you know, and it's so funny because this is a big issue, whether you did 2 years or 20 years, right? This transition piece and being able to translate what you did while you were in to a civilian market, it's actually pretty complex, and a lot of guys get lost in the process, right? For you, because your whole motivation was to go to school, did you find difficulties in transitioning? I mean, or was it pretty easy because you had that stint in the Guard or the reserves to help you kind of bridge?
So it did help with the bridge. I will say and it's interesting when you talk about like the skill sets, and especially from a sales perspective. When I left, I went to school. I also, because I had the family, I was working full time. So I was bridging full time work, part-time school, and then certainly the reserve duty, right? So there was a lot going on, but I'll say that part of it is like, yeah, you have that go get, right? And to your point, like the transitional skills. And so for today, for example, like I work with my TA group, right? And what we end up looking for is to say, hey, hang on, when veterans are coming out, I get it, I'm a 13 Fox. No one's looking to point artillery downfield, right? Downrange and say like, hey, I want that in my organization.
Right.
But they do want discipline, right? They do want leadership characteristics. They want teamwork. They want you to know that, hey, by the way, you can carry out what the objectives are because you've done it, right? And a lot of the other skills can be taught, but there is a certain level of, professionalism that comes from coming out and saying like, no, I'm going to get my stuff done. I have a level of pride, right? You put the uniform on and you're like, hang on, I feel good. I have a job to do. Well, in this case, the job may not have a particular uniform per se, right? But you still know what needs to get done. And, and I think those are those skills that as we speak to the talent acquisition group, right? It's like, hey, those are the things that you need to look for here. Not so much of what they truly did, right? In the actual, like, hey, I was an 11 Bravo, right? I busted down doors, right? That's irrelevant. It's the other skills that you bring to the table that folks like myself as a leader actually look for in our associates, right? Yep. Because we know that I don't have to teach that. You guys got that. I'll teach you how to active listen.
Right. So this is actually, it's super interesting in the conversation with you. So your whole goal was to go to college. And then now with what's happening in the labor market, I would just want to kind of ask your perspective as a VP. So right now they're saying that roughly 50% of companies are eliminating the requirement for a college degree. So it's kind of a two-part question. So at your company, is a college degree required or beneficial? And then the second part of that question is, when you were going to college, you got a degree, now you're a VP of sales, did the degree have anything to do with it?
So my degree was in marketing, and I am in media sales. So yes, it did.
Okay.
It did actually.
So that did work out for you.
Yes. So that those two are connected. I would say, as far as is a degree required, depending upon the position that you're looking for, right. I'll say within the organization, and you know, the Veracast, who I work for, we have about 4,000 employees across the company. So it varies. Some you don't need, some others, if you're going to become a CFO, the chances are they're going to make sure that you have it, right? You at least have the aspiration to do it. And I'll tell you what, I ended up doing my master's while I was here. So I got my MBA. And this is one thing too, especially the jobs that are out there, if they don't require it, take advantage of tuition assistance, right? Yeah. Take advantage of any of those other programs. And, you know, I did that here with not only my undergrad, for the most part, was college fund and GI Bill. My postgrad was 100% paid by my employer at the time. And certainly it varies today. Every company is different, right? They'll give you so much for, you know, certain grades, or they'll give you so much for, you know, a cap per year. I would certainly say take advantage of it, so you can certainly further your education. So listen, go in, get a 4-year and see if the job market will allow you to, you know, tag along with them to get a postgraduate. Don't take on all that burden.
Yes. Yeah. So you serve for your two and a half years, you do that, a year reserves, then you're doing college. Mm-hmm. Did you know that you always wanted to be sales, or did you just fall into sales?
I fell
a marketing degree, right?
Yeah, so. I fell into sales. When I originally took marketing, it was like marketing and small business. I wanted to own my own bar and grill. That was my thing, right? Like, hey, that's what I'm going to go into. When I got out of the service, I ended up, my first job was a sales associate manager in training.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, great. I want to open up my own business. I'm going to need to have some of those managerial skills. This is a great way for me to do it, but they're going to put me into sales first before I go into this, you know, full blown management program, and then really enjoyed it. Right. And one thing that I'll say is that, you know, if you don't think, you know, hey, I don't want to sell a car, well, think of it this way. You're selling a solution to their problem. And I say that in terms of, they have a transportation need, you're going to solve that transportation need by selling them a car. Right.
Yep.
And so it's just a matter of like the way how your mindset works of saying like, hey, hang on, listen, if they want to buy it, if it fulfills what it is, then you'll be successful, right? Like, you're just putting those things out to them. You don't have to have nothing sly about it. It's just listening. What's your challenge? I have a solution. The solution's going to cost X. They can buy it or not buy it, right? Like, either way, it's not that big of a jump, right? When you think about like, I can never be a salesperson. Well, then be a problem solver. Because if you're a problem solver,
I think so often we get wrapped up into sales as the used car salesman when we were an E1, E2, who screwed us out of our LE. Yeah.
28% interest, right?
Yeah, right. With predatory interest rates. And I think that if most people understood that when you get out of the military and you get away from the predatory kind of lending stuff that happens around bases because of that LES.
Yeah.
And you start talking to B2B sales, or you start talking about even this, still the B2C stuff that takes place, but at a corporate level, right? So it's a very different idea than what most of us think of, right?
Correct. Yeah, so, that's exactly it. And for me, it was 100%. I was retail, right? At that point, knowing I still like this whole sales aspect of it. And listen, one of the things too, that from a sales perspective, there is, depending upon the job that you have, this certainly offers you some flexibility. And I'll say in some cases, it really depends upon the job itself. But after I left my first job and then I started to get into media sales, it was a 8 to 5, you should be out on the road, right? Meeting people, right? So if you have that type of just innate, a personality that you like talking with people, right? So that certainly is one of the key key aspect. Key component. Being a salesperson, you need to like people, right?
All right.
Even the ones that say no to you, right? You still need to like them because it'll come back around. But then, you know, it really is a matter of like saying, listen, you make what you can out of it, right? Then it's all on you. And my second job, 100% commission. There was no hourly rate. There was no sales. And that's one where you're like, hang on, I can, as much as work as I put in, the reward I'll get on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different level of sales altogether.
It totally is. I'm glad, and I haven't asked anybody else this, so I'm going to start asking it just because you said that. Because in the back of my head, I was thinking this. So in your career as a salesperson, which obviously you just answered, you did a commission-only role, right? What's your perspective on base plus OTE or whatever it ends up being, or bonuses, versus a commission-only role? So that's part one. And then part two would be, if you could craft your own sales program, would you actually start people in commission only and then move them into what you're doing? Or would you start them into base plus and then move them into commission only?
I would love to start them as commission only and then move them into base plus. So this way it's a matter of like, if from a recurring perspective, hey, guess what? Land an account, put you into a different base program. And as that money continues, great. There you go. Right. There's some base dollars that you can glean off of. But always have that hunger. And I'll say this, when you're 100% commission,
you gotta be hungry.
Right.
You gotta be hungry.
I'll say this in the sense of even with the hunger, right. Don't over rotate to your point of earlier on about like, don't be a used car salesman. Right.
No.
Because then it's a one and done.
Right. Yeah.
One thing that has transpired is you have to build these relationships, right? And those relationships will last. It'll be 30 years coming up that I'm out of full-time service. I still have 6 buddies that we are in regular contact with. I've been in my position almost 24 years, and I have, you know, clients that from day one that I still speak to. Folks that are retired, I still speak to. Right. And part of that is just throughout that entire time, it's always a matter of like, yes, treat them with respect, make sure that they're getting their fair shake. Right. That it's never a matter of like, hey, I'm in it because I can make this one quick sale. I'm going to get this, you know, get this extra bonus, whatever the case is. And they'll never talk to you again.
Yep.
Right. And they'll move somewhere else. And then you try to go sell them there. And they're like, yeah, no, I remember you. Right.
Yeah.
They don't forget, you know, at the end of the day. So certainly, keep it, I'll say keep it real, right? Just in that sense of be true as a person. No, it's not a hustle job.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. You want that. That's something else.
It's so interesting because I'm in all these sales groups on LinkedIn and, and because of the SkillBridge program, I follow all this stuff on the labor department and how things are shaking out in the market. So we get a ton of kids that come in there like, hey, we want to do tech sales. I'm like, I think that's the future. Mm-hmm. Probably need to do something else right now because they're getting slaughtered in the market, right? But there's this huge debate that commission only should go away. Like you should automatically get a base plus. And it's always intriguing to me because I'm a commission only guy. I've always been a commission only guy.
Yep.
And with base comes, pretty much a locked in schedule and when you get a base, because you get that guarantee, you get a lower percentage of commission typically.
Correct.
Right? Yep. What do you think about when the market or at least people inside the market are saying things like do away with commission only?
So one of the things I would say is that you have to prove it first. Right. And so at the end of the day, when you're coming in and you're saying, hey, and if you have no experience at all, and you're saying, okay, so why should I bring you in at X dollars as a base salary when you haven't done anything yet for me? And maybe it's a matter of like, one of the things is looking at is like, hey, it's a short term, I understand you have to live. We also need to make sure that we're delivering.
We're hiring the right person.
We're hiring the right person. So I understand that. But at the end of the day, I can't just make it so that, hey, I'm just going to feed you 90% of what you would make anyway, because then I don't know if you have that same hunger. 100% commissionable, you have hunger, right? And we've gone through various, you know, comp plans as well. And we constantly are looking at them and revising them to say, what is it that we need as an organization? And how does the comp plan help get us there? Right. And those are tweaks. New business. Yeah. There's new business is more than old business, right? Because it's just adding to the overall value of whatever organization you happen to work on. Right. And so there's a benefit there. It's just like, all right, seller, go for it. Right.
Right.
I'm going to make sure that you have your, you know, food on your table, lights on, all that good stuff. But at the same time, I also need growth.
Yep.
And, you know, too much rotation to one way is complacency.
Yep. I totally agree.
You're like, complacency is great, but complacency kills.
Yep.
Right. And it can kill any part of the business that they happen to be representing. So it's always a matter of like, hey, how do you tweak things? 100% works. That's a big risk. You have to have belief in yourself, right? That you can say like, I can make this work, right? I'll get rewarded a lot more that way than if I did it the other. But if you have that much faith and confidence in yourself, go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the big thing too, and it's not 100% true, but this is what I've seen. So just a couple of things inside that whole paradigm, right? So if you're a base plus, those people typically, and it depends on the state, because obviously if you're in California or New York, it's different. But,
yeah.
You know, typically if you do a base plus, the most you're ever going to make is 125. You know, there's some that are a little bit more, but that's a pretty good, safe kind of ceiling for base plus roles, right?
Yeah.
Commission only, I've worked with clients that are doing 900, a mil and a half. There's a recruiter that I know that she does a million and a half every year. She's the top of her business.
Yep.
But I've never, me personally, John Rankin personally, I've never met anybody in base plus that's ever even come anywhere close to those kind of numbers.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Because there's always components of plans.
Right.
And it's like, hey, base plus, I'm giving you this base, right? But at the same time, I'm also not going to let you run wild, right?
Yep.
Mega deals. And that's a term that we use. It's just like, listen, if you land the next, you know, $20 million account and you blow through things, it's like, hang on, I have the ability to say, great, thank you, right? But at the same time, we're not going to be, you know, paying out the same value as if you had nothing else on the back end.
Right.
You know, I've had it where, actually, on the job that I was doing, that was 100% commissionable. You know, my boss called me into the office, and she's just like, you know, just like, you know, you're making more than me this month. And I'm like, you want that? That's good, right? Because if I'm over delivering, then ultimately you are also over delivering,
yeah,
right? Onto your piece. Granted, I may make more from a value perspective than you, from a, you know, that monetary perspective, but we're both winning. You know, yep. And it's just the idea of like, yeah, I'm going to continue to do this, and that's fine, right? And certainly today, as within the leadership role, I'm happy if folks are saying like, hey, I'm making more than you, go for it, because yep. At the end of the day, I'm getting a piece of that, right? Yep. And I'm being successful because of you, and hopefully I've helped you along the way get there, right? So it's like, yeah, I'm a little deserving, right? Not as much, yeah. With all the tactical and whatnot. But hopefully we would have worked on it right together to get you to that, you know, sale.
Yeah. And just as I look at that whole conversation about base plus versus commission only, one of the things I've seen is the personality. One is more motivated by security and the other is more motivated by opportunity.
That is correct.
You know? So it's always an interesting conversation for me. I've been in sales just like you for 30 plus years. And so when I look at conversations that are taking place, especially in the digital age, because it's changed everything.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
And so for you and your company, So there's two philosophies that kind of take place. It's the old school meet and greet, dial the phone, versus the new school, which is social media. Where does Veracast fall in that? Where do you fall in that?
Sure. So we have a saying, listen, we love to have, knee-to-knee meetings, right? And we say knee-to-knee, so this way it's not face-to-face, because what we're doing now is face-to-face, right? We're on a Zoom call. Not the same, right? Like, I want to breathe the same air as you, right? And then have that type of discussion, right? Because so much happens when we end and we hit, end this Zoom call, that's it.
Yeah.
But what happened before us getting together? What happens after us getting together? All of that can take place by having a knee-to-knee meeting, right? Like saying, hey, I am there. You're going to walk me to the elevator. We're going to have the after discussion, right? Or whoever it is that, even if it's a host that's walking you out, you get to have asked that one extra question. So what'd you think, right? How do you think it went? Did that one seem like it, did it go well, right? Just things like that you can't get otherwise. Do we use all of the social media tactics? Absolutely, right? From a lead gen perspective, to hopefully drum up some type of demand. But at the end of the day, the knee-to-knee first, we'll take Zoom calls, certainly second, right? Like that's the next best thing, particularly the way how, the world has changed from everybody used to be in the office 5 days a week.
Right.
Now it's a matter of like, okay, when are you going in next? Right. And in some cases, the company I was with yesterday, it's 3 days a week. So you're like, okay, so I can only get you, I want to focus in on those 3 days. I still want to have face to face with you. Right.
Sure.
And invest that time, because that's so much more powerful than some of the electronic, just, hey, we'll do a Zoom meeting or
I use technology and I'm fluent in social media, but if I can actually be in front of you, it's far better. You can read the scenario better. Body language is easier to read.
That's exactly it. I too many times, and a couple of years ago up on we had a sales conference and I was presenting to the team. And, I said, listen, I said, the importance of the knee-to-knee versus a Zoom call today. And at one point I went behind the curtain and I was still speaking, right? And I was saying, it's the equivalent of you having a meeting like this. Someone shuts their camera off. You have no idea what's happening, right? On the other side. No idea how to deal with it. I can't read body language. I can't see an expression. Right. I can't see, hey, are they engaged with me? Or are they pulling up this phone, right? Are they doing something else? You're just like, no, hang on. Like, be respectful of both. I'm here, hopefully, again, problem solving a challenge that you have, and vice versa. So, but as soon as that thing goes off, right, on a virtual perspective, you lose it.
No, that's so true. One of the things that I'm doing with this podcast is our drive is so naturally skeptical. Maybe it's because the recruiter lied to us when we came in, or the used car salesman, or maybe it's just we've been in the government, so now we see how not trustworthy the government is. But there's this just inordinate amount of skepticism. And so one of the things that I do is I bring on successful people like you so the tribe can see but they don't have to accept $20 an hour or, some $15 an hour. When you got into sales, was any of that in the back of your head? I mean, how did that all play out for you?
So I needed to make sure that at least from the sales perspective, whether it was a base plus or if it was a commission plus, that at least I said to myself, I need at least X. To get the basics covered, right? The housing, the car, the insurance, right? Food on the table. And can I do that with what minimum I will get from this position, knowing that, again, belief in oneself to say, I can kill it, right? Like I can make this work. If you give me a territory and you tell me, hey, guess what? There's like 15% penetration and there's 85% upside. I'm like, oh, I can make this work, right? Like I can certainly make well above my basic needs, right? And so I would use that as my go forward of, hey, can I at least get my minimums, get the experience, right? And I think you mentioned before about, you know, software sales, right? Tech sales, right? Jumping in from one to another, if you have some skills, right, that you can say, hey, by the way, I can make this work, and you get your shot and you know that there's upside, go, right? Like that's belief in oneself and one's ability. And we've all been there where we've sat around and you mentioned the whole government piece, right? Saying like, I know there's a better way to do this, right? There's definitely a better way to do this, right? And knowing that and bringing that, you know, solution to the mindset of what you're, whatever it is that you're selling and saying like, there's a solution here. I think I'm better than whatever else is on the table for that client, right? To purchase, right? Like when you have that little, I can do better, right? My product, my solution does better. I mean, all of that, and again, that's like an innate piece that you would have, you know, learned over your, whether it's 4 years or 20 years, right? During the service.
Yeah. And it's so important because kind of what you were talking about earlier, we have skill sets that frankly, most of the population doesn't have, right? They're not used to 4:30 mornings and crappy weather and potential of somebody getting shot if you're not doing the right things. And all those things to me lead to, even if you weren't like necessarily the most hardcore, you know, military person and the top performer, the mere fact that you did, you know, for all my Air Force and Space Force people out there, no offense, but even if you did their vacation for boot camp, you know, like that is still significantly more than what anybody else in our population has done. And if you can take just some of those pieces and apply it to sales, six figures is not a far shot.
That is so true, right? There's a, I'll say that the discipline that you end up getting, to your point, it's either waking up early to get to PT, right? It's you're saying like, hey, listen, there's formation that's happening, right? Like, exactly like what you need to do. And some things, listen, 30 years later, I still wear my button down shirt in a gig line with my trousers and belt, right? Like, I don't know why, it just happens, you know? And I brought that up recently in a meeting. I said, you know, there are some things that you can't, for some reason, remove. It just happens. You know, I get into a photo and my thumb wants to go to my index finger, right? And just be like, hey, I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, but it's things that you just have, and you may not realize it. And as a, certainly as an employer, right? And that's why I think I started out by saying like, you have skill sets that we look for, right? When we go through recruiting, you know, and if you have those, I can teach you the product. I can teach, because listen, selling itself is, I sell a different solution than the next guy, right? You don't know that until you come into my organization. Sure. However, but if I know that you have the right attitude, if I know that you have that drive, right? If I know that you're not going to, you know, you have the discipline to go forward and say, hey, listen, I'm going to make sure that the job is done, right? Because at that point, your family might depend on you, right? Like all this, right. There's other components there. We'll take that, like, all right, let's bring them on, right? They have that right attitude. You like people, you know, you like speaking to people. We can train you on some of the other, you know, ancillary pieces that comes along with sales. But you bring in, to your point, skills that the college graduates, right, coming out after high school, then they go to college for 4 years and they come out, they don't have that same type of discipline, right? They don't have that same type of teamwork unless they were in sports, right? But it's the same thing. It's like, well, they were part of a team, so they were there. But if you're just an individual student going about your day, you're missing a few of these intangibles, right? Sure. That 4 years would have taught you in the Army or we've all been yelled at, right? Like, so rejection is part of sales. So get ready to be, you know, yelled at and saying like, no, I'm not buying from you, right? Rejection is part of it, right? But we've all been there. We thought we did right. You know, it's just like, no, what are you talking about, Sergeant? I'm lined up. I'm squared away. No, you're not, right? I'm going to say BDU, right? Just because that was back in my day, right? BDU wasn't tucked right. Yeah. You didn't have the crease wasn't good enough, that the boots weren't shined enough. And you're like, I'm pretty sure I shined them up, right? You can still get rejected.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's going to happen anyway in sales, but at least you've already been there.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the meme? You're old enough to remember the cartoon. It's Skeletor. Yes. From He-Man. And the meme says, when you tried to hurt my feelings, but the army destroyed them long ago.
There you go. Yeah.
You definitely need that thick skin in sales. And, it's really important that you get all that stuff and ignore it.
And, you know, there's one other time where I was in a meeting, the CEO, the SVP of sales, my EVP of sales, we were all in there. We were talking about, this media product, and CEO goes, I have an edict, no more. Right. And so thinking about that, I'm like, one, glad my boss is here to hear that. So this way he knows it wasn't me. Yeah. Right. But, talk about just like deflation, and you're like, oh my God, this is horrible. Right. Like I just lost an account because now who am I going to convince? The CEO just said, not going to do it anymore. The CEO left about 2 years later. Right. You still keep those connections. And this goes back to a relationship piece. And guess who comes back into the fold as an account? Right. Yeah. So it's always, listen, you might get punched in the gut. You might lose your, lose your breath. The breath could take 2 years to regain, but it comes back.
It comes back. Right?
Absolutely. So never let that, I'll say that rejection, fully dismantle what you can do, because you can easily say, I know my solution has a place here.
Yeah. So I'm sure as a vice president, you have a ton of funny stories. So I'll set you up. Obviously it would never be Veracast, but, did you ever serve in the army and look around and go, I can't believe that they say that the U.S. military is the premier leadership organization, right? I don't know if you had that experience. I had that experience. And then I got into the corporate world and I was like, holy shit, we are. Do you have any stories about where, and it does, it's like I said, not Veracast, because I'm sure it was some other organization, where you sat around and was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I'll say this from the military side, really, really quick. It's almost a matter of like, hang on, how many times are we going to inventory this Connex, right? Like, because that's what we need to do. And I'm like, there's got to be something better, right? Like, so it's just like, and so to your point of like, is that the best we can do with all this time that we have for folks, right? Like, that's what the LT wants. He wants us to inventory. All right, fine. Certainly from the sales side of things, right? In the civilian world, there's things that make you scratch your head and you're saying to yourself, you're like, hang on, are you, as a leader, right, should be looking ahead, right? We'll call it down the battle, way down the battlefield, right? Like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Here's my strategy and whatnot. And then you come to find out that, decisions are made and you would easily raise your hand and say, that's not going to work, right? And yet decisions end up getting made that, haunt you years down the road. And you're like, we made the wrong decision, right? And you would think that, hang on, there's leaders here that we're supposed to follow you. You're supposed to make the right choices, right? And it does it. There's some of the consequences that can be made. And you're like, that decision is making my life harder. Three, four years down the road, right? And you're just like, gosh, what happened, right? Like, you're supposed to be leading us, right? And so there's certainly some of that I'll say that goes on in the corporate world, where you just go, you scratch your head and you're saying like, that's not how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
But listen, and there's also plenty of times where things do work out well, right? And you have great times and you get to celebrate. And those are things that from a sales perspective, you kind of like you enjoy and you embrace and you're like, all right, I can live with that.
We have two audiences, really. You know, we have an audience that's much like you. It's a company that's found us and they're going to be listening. And then our primary audience is obviously the transitioning service member, whether it's man or woman. They've decided that they're going to move into a sales career for whatever their motivations are. If you could talk to them directly, knowing that they've got 3 to 6 months left in the service, what would you be telling them to do?
So I would say, one, get something that you're passionate about. So, for example, from a selling perspective, like you have to really believe in what it is that you're going to sell. So that's the first thing, right? Like if you believe in tech sales, go for it, right? If you believe in real estate and you want to become a realtor, go for it, right? So because at the end of the day, your day will be a lot longer if whatever it is that you're trying to solve for somebody else or sell to a potential client, if you don't believe in it, it's just going to come through, right? Like it's not going to exude, like you're not going to exude confidence. You're not going to be like, hey, by the way, I can't, you can't live without this, right? This is the solution that you need. Otherwise, you're not going to show that. Therefore, you're not going to necessarily be successful in that world, right? And you're just going to say, maybe this isn't for me. So I would say, first and foremost, get something that you really enjoy, right? That you have, whether it's a passion about, if you like selling, if you like cars, go into automotive sales, right? Go into that area. So that would be the first thing. Two, I would say, there's plenty of resources that are out there now, right? Again, my days was, ACAM.
Don't let the door hit you.
Right? Now you have folks like yourself. You have the networks, right? Certainly you mentioned LinkedIn networks. You have other resources, right? From the DoD Skill Bridge, and whatnot. Tap into all of them, right? You have this, you have this great ability now. It's easy, right? There's, my gosh, they're talking gig speeds as opposed to, for us, it was, 2400 baud rate and it would squelch to let you know you're online, right? Like, so access to information and the speed in which you can get it to so much easier today. Start building a network. And if there are employers that you want to, start to pursue, reach out. Myself included, in the sense of, listen, hopefully, by all means, share my contact information as folks want to start to go down that road. So I want to make sure that you're successful in that transition, right? There's other veterans as well that want to make sure that you are successful in that transition. And again, this goes back to being a battle buddy, right? I may not have known you the first day coming into it, right? But there's a different sense of camaraderie that's there. You've donned a uniform, right? Yeah. And so at one point we were brothers, sisters in that regard, and you would help your brother and sister. So lean into those types of groups and organizations and personnel that, listen, if you want to go work for any given company, HP, IBM, Tesla, right? Whatever the case is, look up to see if, hey, are there veterans there? And how do I get attached and just say, hey, can you help me out? I'm trying to navigate my way through. That the building of the network is so key. And if you can do that early on, there are folks out there willing to help and able to help. Even if it's not with my company directly, I can at least give some guidance, right?
Sure.
Say, hey, I may know someone, right? We all have a network. And when, to your point, you've been doing it for long enough, right? 30 plus years, you build a network. And that network is very simple of like, hey, I need to tap you on the shoulder for a second. Can you go talk to a buddy of mine? Making a transition coming out, leverage that, right? And don't be afraid to. And I've, having done, work with ACP as a mentor for, again, transition.
Oh, you're with ACP. Okay. Are you still with them?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So actually, so one of the things that a way to give back is I started this Military 6 resource group within Veracast. And it's kind of to help with, bringing awareness of veterans issues to the organization. And one of those pieces is I do have some funding and I fund right now, there's 5 mentees that are being serviced by Veracast employees as mentors. as they make that transition. And it could be operations, it's HR, it's engineering, right? So it's a matter of like, hey, how do we match those people up, right?
Sure.
So again, utilize the resource, start building out a connection and a network. But at first and foremost, whatever it is you plan on selling, make sure that you really have it doesn't even have to be a strong passion. You have to believe in it, right? Like you have to believe in what it is that you're going to sell, because you're ultimately trying to convince somebody else to buy it.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't believe, they're not going to believe. And no sales, no commissions, no food on the table, right? And it starts to put some doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
So believe in it.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, so if you can, just tell them where they can find you, and then also where they could find your mentee program.
Sure. So on LinkedIn, it's Chris Soroka. The company is Vericast, as you've seen up here in the virtual background. That mentee program is through the ACP that we do, but certainly there's we've done work on the side, like outside of that. So certainly if you do have, because I have a waiting list of folks that want to mentor folks coming in. Budget doesn't allow me to do it all the time.
Sure.
Certainly there's folks, and that's part of what this resource group was. It's folks that are in those positions today, and they're not necessarily veterans, right? These are just folks that are in that job that can kind of say, yes, this is what you need to do in order to become successful in what I've been doing for the last, 15, 20 years. And again, kind of help mentor your way through. And again, they have a network, maybe not even within this organization, but elsewhere. So as you say, hey, I want to look at Tesla, right? As an example, they may have connections there, or they may know someone that has connections there, right? Again, building out the network from a sales perspective, always one of the greatest things you can do to benefit yourself long term.
Yeah.
Slow to start, but long term. Listen, I still talk to retired people, right? That are no longer clients. And it's just the idea of like, hey, they still have a value and they can be an asset for you, right? And likewise, you could be for them if they just say, hey, by the way, I have a question. What do you think about this?
Sure.
Happy to help. But definitely LinkedIn, Chris Soroka. From there, connect with me. Certainly say that, hey, by the way, I saw you on the sales platoon, because as a one thing, as you can imagine, as a leader of a organization, I get a lot more of the cold calls, right? And so just like, and it's sellers doing their business of reaching out, trying to make those connections. I'll say this, there's really good ones, and then there's really bad ones.
Really bad ones.
There's really bad ones. And sadly, I'm going to say there's a lot more bad ones that come my way. Don't just send me a thing that says, I'd like to connect with you.
Yeah.
Tells me
we teach them not to do that.
What's that?
We teach them not to do that.
Yeah, right. Like, that's the worst thing possible, because I'm like, I have no idea who you are. I have no idea what I can help. Can I help? Can you help me? I don't know. You just want to connect. It's not the same way. And, but I at least try to give them feedback, right? Sure. Saying, no, I'm not interested, because listen, it goes back earlier to the rejection piece. You need to know, I want to shut that door. I want the same type of, I want my team and my sellers to also get that same respect of, it's not right. It's not the right time. I'm not the right person, whatever the case is, right? Just like close that door. Don't leave it open. And you just stop and wonder, you're like, did I do a good job? Did I not do a good job? What's the piece behind it? But for those that are certainly, the really creative ones, the ones that come into, that stand out, I go above and beyond, right?
Yeah.
And if I can, I'll give you two examples, right? One to me and one I actually sent out, right?
Sure.
One to me was just saying, you're harder to track down than DB Cooper's money. Right? And that was the subject line. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, that worked, right? Like that little thing. I have no idea what the body of the email was going to be, but that headline had enough for me to say, like, all right, I'm going to open up. Right. It wasn't me that he needed. He needed somebody else in the organization. And I'm like, you know what? I'm helping you because this was actually pretty good.
Right. You know, that is a good one.
You know, you do a couple of those like outbound things and you're just like, oh, hang on. No, you know, there's some creativity. The creativity actually works. I was trying to do an outreach and I was trying to reach a CMO at an organization and everything I was doing was falling flat and I wasn't getting any response. And I had met this gentleman earlier, right, at a conference. I'm like, hang on, like, you know, I would expect a little something. Give me one response back. Like, hey, not interested. So you do some due diligence. Next thing you know, you come to find out that he's a tennis hack, self-proclaimed tennis hack, right? According to profile. And so I sent the note. The whoever was number one at the time in the world, I'm like, which one do you want? Right. And part of that was just to say, like, hang on, that, you know, you may think of us as old school. And that's what it was. I'm like, but if you're playing double partners, do you want the guy that has all of the wins or the up and comer that you really don't know about? Like, who do you want? And I ended up getting a response from that. And it was completely out of character. There was nothing else going on. But I got the response back. Right. And I'm like, okay, that was good. And teams connected. Right. And so it's like, I did my job and I don't know if it was like, all right, did I win? Because I got you to connect, right? Like it was interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the important thing there is here you are, vice president, large company, 4,000 people. I mean, this is not small. And what you're saying is if you have a little bit of spark of originality and you actually do the job that you're getting paid to do, which is to sell me, but if you do it in an authentic and original way, even as busy as I am, I'm going to take a little time to check it out.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important because so many people go, well, I'm not even going to try because he's the vice president of a large company. I'll never get him. And I'm just thinking from a military context because my whole goal is to talk to guys like you. I'm going to use that. I'm going to twist it a little bit, but it's going to be, you're harder to find than Osama in caves.
So there you go. Yeah.
Right. So cool, man. Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on and this was really fun for me. And
likewise.
We'll drop in the show notes the company, you know, your contact on LinkedIn and then the ACP stuff. But just thanks again for coming and enjoyed having you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, John. And listen, like I said, anything I can do to help the community that you're looking to support, all for it.
Great. Thanks, man.
All right.
Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Sales Platoon for more updates and veteran success stories. Join us next time as we continue to decode the art of selling through the unique perspectives of those who served.